I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's September 5th, and we have a lot to talk about. When you're living with MS, managing your pelvic floor health may not be among the first things you think about. But pelvic floor dysfunction and the problems that relate to it, like bladder and bowel issues, can seriously impact your health, well-being, and your quality of life. The good news is that you can improve your pelvic floor health through pelvic floor rehabilitation. Joining me to explain what pelvic floor rehab is all about, why it's important, and how you can get started on the path to improving your pelvic floor health is Jill Ehrmantraut. Jill is a physical therapist and a women's health clinical specialist with advanced training in pelvic rehabilitation for men, women, and children. But before we get to my conversation with Jill Ehrmantraut, there are a few other things that you should know about. Last week, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services announced the first 10 prescription drugs that will be subject to price negotiations between Medicare and the companies that manufacture these drugs. And while there weren't any MS disease-modifying therapies on this initial list, the list did include blood thinners and diabetes treatments that are used by millions of Americans every day, including people who are living with MS and managing comorbid health conditions. This announcement marked an important moment in the ongoing effort to ensure that everyone in the United States has access to affordable prescription medications. This is the first time that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services will be able to negotiate directly with prescription drug manufacturers to make these drugs more affordable for millions of Medicare beneficiaries. The new pricing will take effect in 2026, and it's estimated that these negotiations will cut the price of these medications in half. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services gained the ability to negotiate the price of prescription drugs as part of President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, which also lowered patients' out-of-pocket Medicare Part D drug costs from $6,000 a year to $2,000 a year. Now, there's plenty of work yet to be done, but it's worth taking a moment to acknowledge and applaud these first steps toward making prescription drugs more affordable and more accessible for everyone. Women living with MS face additional challenges related to managing reproduction, pregnancy, and menopause, all while dealing with the ongoing challenge of just managing their MS. This state of affairs becomes even more serious when you stop to consider that, compared to men, women are three times more likely to have MS. There are big gaps in what experts understand about women's health and MS, but that's about to change, and you have the opportunity to help shape future research designed to address these knowledge gaps. The International Advisory Committee on Clinical Trials in MS, Women's Health Working Group, is conducting an online survey to help identify the most important questions in six broad areas for future research in women's health and MS. People living with MS, healthcare providers, researchers, and patient advocacy groups are all invited to participate in this brief anonymous survey. It should only take you about 5 minutes to complete the survey, so if you'd like to participate, and I hope you will, you'll find a link in today's show notes. Now that we're already into September, it's not too soon to be thinking about ECTRIMS, the largest MS research conference in the world. ECTRIMS is an acronym for the European Committee for Treatment and Research in Multiple Sclerosis, and this year, the annual conference will bring over 9,000 MS researchers, clinicians, and specialists to Milan, Italy, from October 11th through the 13th for MS Milan. And if you aren't a researcher, clinician, or specialist, but you are someone who's affected by MS, you can join the conference on Saturday, October 14th for the MS Milan Patient Community Day. If you happen to find yourself in Milan, you can attend this free event in person. And if you don't happen to find yourself in Milan, you can still participate virtually. This event will feature top MS experts sharing the latest advancements in MS research and treatment, and the planners are promising a highly interactive event where you'll have an opportunity to submit your own questions. MS Milan Patient Community Day takes place Saturday, October 14th from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Registration is free, and you'll find a link to more information and online registration in today's show notes. It's not quite as far as Milan may be, but if you happen to find yourself in New York City on September 18th and you're ready to laugh for a good cause, I'll recommend that you check out the Stand Up to MS Comedy Club benefit at the Gotham Comedy Club. The show will feature five comics, an open bar, and a silent auction, with all of the proceeds going to support an ongoing research project at the Weill Cornell Medical College in collaboration with Rockefeller University. If you're a regular listener, you're already familiar with the research being funded through this event. It's the work being led by Dr. Tim Vartanian. And if you'd like to learn more about Dr. Vartanian's current research on the possible cause of MS, you can check out episode number 292 of Real Talk MS. The Stand Up to MS Comedy Club benefit takes place September 18th at the Gotham Comedy Club on West 23rd Street in New York. If you're interested in learning more, buying a ticket, or making a donation, you'll find that link in today's show notes. U.S. News & World Report has published its annual ranking of the best hospitals in the United States for neurology and neurosurgery. In compiling this list, U.S. News evaluated 1,245 hospitals and ranked the top 50 that treat patients with challenging neurological conditions, including stroke, conditions affecting the central nervous system, spinal disorders and injuries, seizures, and degenerative nervous system diagnoses, including multiple sclerosis. The top 10 hospitals in the United States for neurology and neurosurgery are, starting with number 10, Northwestern Medicine Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago, Mount Sinai Hospital in New York comes in at number 9, Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston is at number 8, coming in at number 7 is Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore. UCLA Medical Center in Los Angeles is ranked number 6. At number 5, we have Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles. The Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota is at number 4. New York Presbyterian Hospital, Columbia and Cornell in New York is ranked 3rd. UCSF Health, UCSF Medical Center in San Francisco is ranked 2nd. And for the second year in a row, NYU Langone Hospitals in New York City is ranked number 1. As they've done in prior years, U.S. News has also published an honor roll, recognizing hospitals that have excelled across multiple areas of care. This honor roll doesn't include a numerical ranking and instead lists these 22 honor roll hospitals in alphabetical order. This year's list of honor roll hospitals includes Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles, the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore, the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, UC San Diego Health La Jolla and Hillcrest Hospitals in La Jolla, California, and others. Speaking of rankings, your pelvic floor health may not rank near the top of your list of MS-related issues that you should be paying attention to, but it should. Because the MS-related problems that are related to your pelvic floor, bowel and bladder issues, for example, well, they're the kinds of MS problems that can not only disrupt your life, but also worsen your health and your overall well-being. In a moment, we'll meet my guest, Jill Ehrmantraut, who's here to help us better understand how pelvic floor rehabilitation can be a difference maker when it comes to living your best life with MS. When you're living with MS, managing your pelvic floor health may not be top of mind, But pelvic floor dysfunction and the problems that relate to it, like bladder and bowel issues, can become significant. Focusing on pelvic floor rehabilitation can have a positive and meaningful impact on your well-being and your quality of life. Jill Ehrmantraut is joining me today to explain the important role pelvic floor rehabilitation plays in managing MS, and Jill's going to share some strategies designed to empower you on your path to achieving a healthier pelvic floor. Jill is a physical therapist and a women's health clinical specialist with advanced training in pelvic rehabilitation for women, men, and children. Welcome to the podcast, Jill.
Yes, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
First, what are the pelvic floor muscles and why are they important?
Yes. So the pelvic floor is a group of muscles that sit at the base of your pelvis, and they really have three important jobs, I guess you could say. Number one, the pelvic floor helps support all of the organs in through the pelvis and the abdomen. So this is going to be the bladder, the rectum, even into the intestines and the stomach. So it helps support everything up through there. The pelvic floor also has an important sexual function. So it is involved in attaining and maintaining an erection, and also feelings of pleasure for both men and women. The pelvic floor also is really vital for bowel and bladder control. So the pelvic floor surrounds the urethra. That's the tube that carries urine from the bladder outside of the body, and also surrounds the rectum or the anus. And when they're nice and strong, I like to think of them like a clamp on a hose. They clamp, to kind of say, clamp the urethra shut so urine doesn't come out. On the other side of things, the pelvic floor needs to be able to relax all the way in order to go to the bathroom. So it needs to relax and open up through the urethra to urinate, or open up through the urethra or through the rectum to have a bowel movement. So they really have a lot of important and vital functions.
Can you explain what pelvic floor rehabilitation is and how it can help manage symptoms that are related to MS?
Yeah, so pelvic floor rehabilitation is really physical therapy for your pelvic floor muscles. You know, a lot of people have maybe had physical therapy for, say, a shoulder or a back issue. This is physical therapy, but for the pelvis. So one of the biggest things physical therapists do is exercise. We guide through exercise to help strengthen the pelvic floor, but also surrounding muscles, so say the hip and the core muscles, to help with bowel and bladder control. Depending on what we find in the evaluation, maybe we need to work more on relaxation and coordination types of exercises to make it a little bit easier to go to the bathroom. But that's really what it is and how it can help manage symptoms in patients with MS.
What specific techniques or exercises are typically included in a pelvic floor rehab program for people with MS?
Yeah, one of kind of our bread and butter pelvic floor exercise a lot of people have maybe heard of is called a Kegel. And what a Kegel is, it's really just contracting and relaxing through your pelvic floor. That's going to help improve strength, but it also is going to help improve coordination so the muscles can relax in order to go to the bathroom. I also like to do a lot of hip exercises. Your hip muscles really work closely with your pelvic floor. So by doing particular hip exercises, we help strengthen the pelvic floor. One I really like is putting a pillow between your knees and squeezing together, or putting a band around the outside kind of your knees, your thighs, and pushing out. That will help with the pelvic floor. Core strength is also really important too, so focusing on those. In a pelvic floor that's maybe too tense, we work on more coordination and relaxation or stretching types of exercises. I also like to do a method of treatment called biofeedback or surface EMG. So with this, there's three little electrodes that are put on your bottom. But the nice thing about it, it's kind of hard sometimes to know what your pelvic floor is doing because you can't see it. With biofeedback, we actually hook you up to the computer, and I kind of think of it like a heart rate monitor. We can actually see what your pelvic floor is doing. So that can be really valuable in learning how to control your pelvic floor because it helps improve the connection between the brain and the muscles and helps with coordination and pelvic floor function.
Let's drill down and get a little more specific. Tell me, how does MS affect the pelvic floor in women? And what are some common related symptoms that might be experienced by women who are living with MS?
We typically are going to see one of two things, although we might see both at the same time. One thing, the pelvic floor might be too weak, and that's when we might see more incontinence types of issues, so bladder leakage or even fecal incontinence because they can't thread the clamp on the hose to shut those openings. More often, however, in women with MS, we're going to see pelvic floor muscles that are maybe too tight or too tense. When this happens, kind of typical symptoms we're going to see are urinary frequency. So you feel like you have to go to the bathroom a lot. the bladder sits right on the pelvic floor. So when the pelvic floor is tense, it's going to push up on the bladder and kind of irritate it a little bit. We might also see urgency, like you feel like you need to rush to the bathroom right away. And maybe even feeling like you're not emptying your bladder all the way because the pelvic floor is kind of too tense around the urethra and can't relax all the way. So it's harder for all the urine to come out.
How can pelvic floor rehab help manage menstrual-related pelvic pain or discomfort in women with MS?
Yeah, so a lot of times menstrual-related pain may be coming from the uterus itself, whether it's contracting to expel the lining or hormonal changes. However, what tends to happen when we're experiencing pain, the muscles in the area are going to kind of contract and guard against that. Now, in everyday life, this is a good protective thing. So say you touch a hot stove and your arm automatically draws away. That's what that is. However, when it comes to your pelvic floor, we really don't want this response. What will happen is if the pelvic floor tenses from pain, we actually might now experience even more pain because we're also experiencing pain from tight muscles. So by working with a pelvic floor therapist, this is when we're going to maybe work on more stretching, relaxation types of exercises. Biofeedback works really good with this because you can learn how to relax the muscles. I also like to do maybe some hands-on manual therapy releases through the pelvic floor and even the lower abdomen. When we can release a lot of that muscle tension, that can help decrease any pelvic-related menstrual pain or any pelvic muscle pain that we might be experiencing.
Are there specific exercises or even lifestyle changes that have been proven effective in strengthening pelvic floor muscles in women with MS?
Yes. So kind of our bread and butter for pelvic floor is going to be Kegels. Kegels are really going to help strengthen through the pelvic floor. So contracting, relaxing, they also are a good coordination exercise. I also like to do a lot of hip and core strengthening. So the pillow squeeze I talked about, pushing out against the band. By strengthening some of those kind of attachment muscles, we're also going to help improve strength through the pelvic floor. There are also some various lifestyle changes that we can incorporate that really are pretty easy to do to help improve bowel and bladder function. Number one that I talk about with my patients the most often is water intake. A lot of times when someone is dealing with bowel or bladder issues, they're going to cut back on water because they think it might help them not to go to the bathroom so often, or they maybe won't leak. But actually what tends to happen is if you're not drinking enough water, your urine that sits in your bladder becomes more concentrated. So if you've ever looked in the toilet, I've done it after you go to the bathroom, your urine is maybe darker. It maybe smells a little bit stronger. And that particular type of urine can irritate your bladder and actually cause more leakage or cause you go to the bathroom more than you otherwise would. Another lifestyle change is decreasing any bladder irritants we might be ingesting. So this could include caffeinated beverages, carbonated beverages, artificial sweeteners is a big one. Acidic foods, kind of extra spicy foods, those types of things may irritate the bladder in individuals and also kind of contribute or worsen bowel and bladder issues. So by changing some of those things, we can really see big differences.
What about men? How does MS specifically affect the pelvic floor in men? And I guess same question, what are some common related symptoms that might be experienced by men who are living with MS?
Yeah, so that's kind of maybe the good thing about pelvic floor is it really is going to affect men and women similarly. So oftentimes we will find a pelvic floor that is maybe too tense or can't relax very well. The interesting thing about men is kind of a tight pelvic floor can mimic symptoms of an enlarged prostate, which unfortunately most men will experience at some point in their lifetime. This will be urinary urgency. So you feel like you have to go to the bathroom quite strongly or frequency going too often. Urinary hesitancy. So that's when you're trying to go to the bathroom and your flow doesn't start. Poor urine stream. Your pelvic floor can cause all of that. So because, you know, pelvic floor issues, but also prostate issues can cause that, we usually recommend having your prostate checked to make sure there isn't anything going on. But we've seen a lot of men with MS, with these types of issues, and with pelvic floor rehab, we can make big differences in bowel and bladder function.
And are there any specific exercises or lifestyle changes that have been proven effective in strengthening pelvic floor muscles in men with MS?
Yeah, that's kind of the other fun thing. It's really going to be similar to what we do with women. So Kegels, pelvic floor strengthening, relaxation, stretching, whatever kind of area of the body we feel like we need to work on, can help improve bowel and bladder function. And lifestyle changes are also going to be similar. So making sure we're drinking enough water during the day, limiting any foods or drinks that may be a bladder irritant for you can all make big differences in men as well.
Can pelvic floor rehabilitation help address sexual dysfunction or decrease sexual satisfaction among people with MS?
Yes, that is true. So your pelvic floor is really closely involved in sexual function. So your pelvic floor needs to be able to relax well to attain an erection to allow blood flow into the penis for men. It also needs to be strong enough then to maintain your erection to kind of clamp the base shut to keep blood flow there. So it's really important erectile function, really for women as well. But also by doing pelvic floor exercises, we can improve blood flow to the pelvic area. This can help improve sexual satisfaction. And we also need a strong pelvic floor kind of really in the pleasure or orgasm response as well. So by having a well-functioning pelvic floor, one that is strong but is able to relax at appropriate time, this can really help improve sexual function and satisfaction for both men and women.
So how can someone go about finding a physical therapist that specializes in pelvic floor rehabilitation?
Yeah, so there's a couple different places you can look. We have our professional organization called the American Physical Therapy Association. So if you go on their website, up on one of the top corners, you should find a link for find a PT where you can enter your zip code and look. You should have the option of finding someone for pelvic floor related as well. We also have a subset under the APTA called the Academy of Pelvic Health. So if you go to their website, you can find a PT. Or Herman and Wallace is another group of pelvic floor therapists that you can search under for find a PT. A couple of things I would look for when you're looking for a PT to find someone who has a good level of experience and training would be someone who is either WCS or Women's Health Certified Specialist, PRPC, so that's Pelvic Rehabilitation Practitioner Certified, or CAP Certified. Those particular designations are just going to kind of show that that physical therapist has had an advanced level of training on working with almost any individual with pelvic floor dysfunction.
Well, Jill Ehrmantraut, thank you for all you do to improve the well-being of people living with MS. And thanks so much for talking with me today.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm glad you had me. Thank you.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Talk MS. Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society. And you can share this episode of the podcast by letting your friends or family members know that all they have to do is point their web browser at realtalkms.com/314. You'll find that link in today's show notes, so you can easily copy and paste it right into an email or a text. And if you have a minute, I hope you'll visit the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and download the free Real Talk MS app for your iOS or Android smartphone or tablet. It's the best way for us to stay connected. The app will automatically download the latest episode of Real Talk MS. You'll be able to access any of our past episodes. You'll be able to save your favorite episodes. And it's a great way for me to share bonus content with you. The app is free, so I hope you'll download it today. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and make healthy choices.